Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with Mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy.
They bring to me
how I long
what's more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
what's more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
what's more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we have those on our mind, Father, that are out here walking in darkness. Help us to work for you and to help to lead them out of darkness and into light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we get into your word this evening, we ask the Holy Spirit to work with us, to give us the enlightenment we need, strengthen our faith, that we can walk upright and in accordance with your will and your way. And Father, be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Going to be talking to you this evening from a chapter that we go into every now and then. Which is something the Lord led me into so we can get a better understanding of the whole chapter. Because it's full of things that you and I need. We all need it. And we need to never forget it. So I'm going to be talking with you from Romans chapter 6. Give you a minute to get there. We all know, because I use this chapter quite often in my services, because its main outline or main thing is baptism. But it's got a whole lot more things in there for us than just baptism. But most people today, especially those that are out in darkness right now, know nothing about, really, what baptism is all about. Baptism is about more than just your forgiveness of sin. It's about us putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And tells us more about how to walk and what a lot of meaning is that we really don't think about. In this first verse, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, you know, no. And that's not all that verse should be telling us. You see, if sin would bring you and I more of the grace of God, then we ought to ask for more sin in our lives. But that's not what it's saying. There's a lot of people take it that way, though. What it's really telling us is stay away from sin. Verse 2 goes on and tells us a little more about why we should. It says, God forbid. That right there, those two words is telling us, no, it don't bring more grace. He goes on then to say, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But yet we've got all of these preachers out here telling people, you're going to sin. You just keep right on. But every time you do, you go to the Lord and he'll forgive it. And you just go ahead and live your life like you want. And you know something? That man's on his way to hell, and he's doing his best to take his congregation with him. Because that's not what the word says. It tells you that you're dead to sin. Once you put Christ on, you're dead to sin. You're not to have anything else to do with it. Because if you do, it will separate you from the Lord God. Think about it. And even Hebrews tells us a little more about that. So if you want to go there with me, you don't have to. I'll be reading it. But you go to Hebrews chapter 10. It tells you what will happen. You are a born-again child of God. You've been told that you're dead to sin. You can't do it anymore. 1 John told you that when you become born again, you cannot sin. Now, if you did or do, here's what happens. When you commit a sin, when you know it's wrong, here in verse 26 of chapter 10, it says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. You see, you know it's sin now. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. There's no more sacrifice for it. So you would be carrying that sin with you out of this life and into the next. That sin can't go there. You'd be lost. He goes on to tell you about what will happen if you do. Once you become born again, we're talking about that born again child of God. In 27, he said that in 26, he ended with no more sacrifice, he said. 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He goes on to tell you why, by taking you back and taking you through Moses and all, and bringing you in to today. But I'm not going there because we got too much to cover as it is. But I want you to know what God said about it. Now, he goes on here in 3. We're still dealing right now with baptism. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? When you were baptized in Jesus' name, you were putting on his death. And here's something else in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. When you was baptized, you was buried with Christ into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we all know he was raised up. God didn't leave him in that tomb. He raised him up. Brought him back to life. And as he raised him up, goes on to tell you and I, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Your life should have changed. So you're no longer walking in that old life. You don't have that sin nature anymore. It's gone. It was buried with you in baptism. It was buried with Christ. He took all that to the cross. Now, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And you are walking just as he walks, because he's walking in you. It's not by your power. It's by the grace, the gift of Almighty God, that we can do these things and to have these things. Now, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You've been told in several different ways through these first 6 verses, leave sin alone. And you've been told why. But don't listen. And a lot of them, they hear the words, but it don't go to the heart because they got their own mind. I don't need that. I can do my own thing. I could think my own way. That's the main downfall of man today. Is he's got that belief. He doesn't need anyone else to help him. Not even Jesus Christ. I got my own mind. I can think what I want to think. I can believe what I want to believe. And that's what they're doing to the Word of God and walking contrary to His Word, because they're using it to make it say what they want it to say. Not what it says, but what they want it to say. Now, 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You've been dead ever since you went to Christ. You know, on television, this show, The Walking Dead. If you're a born-again child of God, that's what you are. You're among the walking dead. Think about that for a minute. I want you to really think about what the Word is telling you. Because, you see, that's the reason you're freed from sin. That's why you can't sin. Now, hey, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live or also live with him. You see, when you go to him for forgiveness, you also ask him into your life. You give your life to him. You're giving it to God to do with whatever he wants to do with it. You no longer live that life. You're living for Christ. That's why we live. When we become his children, that's exactly why we live. But over the past 50, 60 years, man has forgotten so much of God's word and about how they should live. And that's why most of our homes today, most of our homes today are not controlled and governed by man. They are not controlled and governed by man. They're controlled by woman. I don't know whether man has gotten afraid of his wife or what's going on, but most of them are controlled. You can sit down and hear this. No, it'll hurt you a bit.
I'm coming home from work. I'm
this
sorry.
Is my son, James.
Hello, everyone.
This is Dennis Lee, and that's James over there, too.
Nice meet you. Y'all have a good service.
Now, woman has taken over the man's place. And she's wanting to do it now, not just in the home, but everywhere. And man is letting her get away with it because he's not doing his job. The Word of God tells us the man is the head of the woman. The Father is the head of Jesus. Jesus is the head of man. And man is head of the woman. And man is supposed to be the head of his home. But most today are not. We know why a lot of men let the woman rule. And we know that reason's not good. But that's the way it is. And I've had two. God took my first one. He took her, a young lady. But he gave me another one. There was times they tried to tell me, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. Don't tell me what I can do and can't do. Only God can do that. You can't. I'll tell you. And then I don't argue about it. That's just the way it is. I got a daughter sitting there right now who can hear me. And she knows what I'm getting ready to tell you. So I got another daughter that tells me today, Dad, I don't go to church because when I was at home, you made me go. She's right. I did make her go. That's what I was supposed to do. Now, if she got grown and got away, then she makes her own choice. But I wish she'd get back in the church. She don't have to come to mine. But find you a good one that's teaching the Word of God and get in it. Now, verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more, death has no more dominion over him. You and I, when we became born again, death has really nothing over you. You that are James, your soul, if you are born again, you will never die. Think about that. You see, when Jesus died on that cross and he started this new age, this new church age, all the law and all was fulfilled and everything became new. Mankind now is choosing where he wants to spend eternity. Because those that are living in today will never die. Now this body is going to go back to dirt. Yes. Because one day we're going to move out of it. That's what you're doing. Body is supposed to be a tabernacle for God. That's what it's supposed to be. And if you are born again, child of God, that's exactly what it is. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit all living in this body. Think about it. This body is a tabernacle if you're a child of God. And if you're not, then it's still a building. It's a home for that soul and that spirit. That soul and that spirit's not going to die. The body will go back to dirt. When you step out of this body and into the next one, that celestial body, this one will go back to dirt. But you will be headed for wherever you're going to spend eternity. And there's a place you don't want to go. I can tell you that. And you know, there are those out there that have salvation. They're not doing anything for God. They'll not be lost. They'll not go to hell. but neither will they receive any reward when they get to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. You'll just be there. Instead of being really a part of it. And that's what we all need, what we all should be wanting, is to be a part of serving the Lord forever. Think about it. Never stopping. Always serving Him. Always being blessed. Never no sickness, no disease. No tears. No sorrow. That in itself is a great blessing, isn't it? Now, he goes on here in 10 telling us about praying that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Just exactly what you and I will do, because you see, when we become that child of God, we also have an inheritance. And we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Being a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Now, 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's telling you right there what I've just got to telling you from the verse before, that you yourself are dead to sin, but alive to God if you are born again. Now, 12. You think God pulls punches? Well, look at this verse. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You'll have temptations come to you. Satan will put thoughts in your mind. James, you be out downtown. You see this pretty woman. Satan will put a thought in your mind that shouldn't be there. Whether that becomes sin for you or not depends on what you do with that thought. What do you do with it? You tell Satan, you just take it and go. I serve Jesus. And you don't let it stay. And you sure don't act on it. Now, 13. Neither ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Everything we do should all be done for the glory of Almighty God. You say, well, I got to live here on this earth. I need this and I need that. Do you? Do you really? Look at us today. Do you think this world don't throw things at us and Satan don't help it? James, do you really need have to have that car out there? Makes it nice, don't it? And God will help you to keep it going. But as far as actually having to have it, no. They went places before by walking camelback and horseback. Here in our own country, they went by buggy, wagon, and horseback for many, many years. You know, when I was growing up, 11, 12 years old, living up here on Tompkins Lake, right outside of Greyhampton there, just off the reservation, in fact, on a little farm. The closest grocery store was out there, you know, about 3.5 miles from home. If Mom only needed one or two things from the store, I went horseback. I rode a horse. If she was needing a whole bunch of groceries, I hooked the horse up to a buggy. And we took a buggy. Because I didn't have any other way of going. I got there. And I got done what I needed to do. There's a lot of things we think that we need that we really don't. It might make things a little more pleasant, yes. And God's not against you being having pleasure here. But it's what we do with it. And we can let these things become idols to us. And when we do that, then that's wrong. When we let anything, or anyone come between us and God, we make that an idol. And it's wrong. Now, verse 14, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Because he fulfilled that law when he died on that cross. And from that time on, the day of Pentecost, when this new church age started, we were under grace. We're still under grace. And will be until he comes back for the church. Now, 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. That's exactly what he tells us. God forbid. 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You can either continue to live in sin, which will bring death, and this death is talking about a separation from God. It will separate you from God. Then you're going to go and be wherever Satan's at, that old devil and his angels. And you're going to end up in that lake of fire with him, all them demons, and hell itself. Think about it. Here in 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. What doctrine are you supposed to be listening to? Give you just a minute to think about that. We got so many doctrines out here. Now, what doctrine are you supposed to be listening to? You're holding it in your hand. That's doctrine. The apostles' doctrine. That's what this book is. This is the apostles' doctrine. This is the doctrine God gave to the apostles and had them to record for him. And this is what we are supposed to live. This is why I teach like I teach, because I'm to teach this word. Not mine, but his. Now, when he calls you for a type of work, he'll equip you for that kind of work. Yes. He called me to teach this doctrine. He's the one who equips me for it by the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your member servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your member servants to righteousness unto holiness. In other words, change your life. You don't want to live any part of that old life anymore. And you come out of that darkness and unto the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you spend time in his word, in prayer, having conversation with Almighty God. And he'll teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things you need to know for your life and for what God wants of you. You see, there's a lot of us doing things that really we wasn't qualified to do. According to man's law, I'm not qualified to be a pastor. I'm not. Because, see, in man's way of thinking, for me and Dennis to be pastors, we were supposed to have went through college, through seminary, so we could come out preaching about a Jesus we don't believe in. Because that's what happens to them. But see, God put us where he wanted us. He qualified me. I didn't need to qualify of any man. God gave me mine. Now, verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. There again, he's telling you. You see, you can't walk with both. You can't do sin. Walk in righteousness. It will not work. 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Anything that you was doing that you had to be ashamed of, you leave alone. Because you'll find it was wrong. Or you wouldn't be ashamed of it. And you may hide it from man for a while. But you don't hide nothing from God. And eventually, things that we do even that we try to hide from mankind, sooner or later comes out and catches up with us. All right. We got two more here, and then we'll be closing. 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That everlasting life to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. I don't want my everlasting life in that lake of fire. No. 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything that we get, everything that we receive comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Think about it. Anybody got anything they want to say? You don't? All right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for this word. We know that this word is life and death. Help us to always keep it, Father, for life in our lives, to give us that life eternal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to never forget who we are, where we are, or what we are, that we are your children through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are comforted, taught, and helped by the Holy Spirit. Father, we are so thankful for this knowledge, so that we not be lost. Now, Father, walk with us. Keep us through this night. Keep us in health. Keep us in strength. And help us, Father, to strengthen our faith each and every day. Help us to spend more time with you, Lord, and in your word. Now, Father, for all that will hear this message through the internet or however they hear it, Father, we pray for them that if they're not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, that it will help them to come to a saving knowledge, Father, that they too can walk with you, have salvation, and be a child. Now, Father, for our families, may the Holy Spirit work in our families, work with those, Father, that are not in church, work with those, Father, that is in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him as their Savior. Help them to find a church, Father, that is teaching your word and walking with your spirit. And Father, help them to grow stronger each and every day so that none are lost. We pray for this land of ours, Father, a land that has walked so far away and it had no excuse. Help us, Father, to all come together. Because, Father, let our prayers be that all churches will come together, will come and stand as one in your church, not man-made, but in your church, with your spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ as their guide, as their teacher, as their strength. And Father, as we separate, watch over us. Keep us together now, Father, and keep us as one, with one accord. Bring us all back together again, Father, at 11 a.m. Sunday morning, and we can be back in to the Word of God. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you want Sunday morning?
All right, mate.
Oh, yeah, we'll keep you busy. You take Sunday morning, I'll take Sunday night.
Gotta make him come.
No, we're going to try to get him here. It's hard to get him here on Sunday morning. I'm hoping he'll start coming on some Sunday mornings and stay away from these other places. I know a lot of them out there has messages that sounds real good. But you couldn't set one of them under the Word of God through two services. Might set him under there for one, but you'd never be invited back for the second one. I know. I've been down that road. I've been to a lot of them. Oh, and I was greeted when I got there. Preach my service, they shake hands when they going out the door. But two, they was letting you know, I ain't asking you back. And they didn't. I've preached in a lot of different churches. I've preached in Presbyterian just once. I've preached in the Nazarene Church. I've preached there several times. I've preached in the Baptist Church, Southern Baptist Church. In fact, I preached in one not too far from here. And I sure wasn't invited back either. I preached at Wolf Creek Baptist Church, which I'm pretty sure it's Southern. I've preached in Pentecostal. I've preached in Church of God. I've preached in several different non-denominational churches. I've preached in several what they call full gospel churches. and most of them. I was never invited back because they want this stuff to tickle the ears, not what the word says. And don't tell me I've been living all these years wrong, because they don't want to hear it. And you don't have to point it out to them, actually, to you personally. You're living wrong. You do that when you're preaching the truth of the word. And when you're preaching about baptism, when you're preaching you have got to be baptized in Jesus' name and why, and they've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and know nothing about the other, they won't listen to you no more. Now, don't come back here. But if you can make a Sunday morning, make it. If you don't, well, make it Sunday evening. Who's at the Methodist Church now? Didn't you tell me James wasn't there?
No, he's been gone a long time.
James been gone? Because see, when I quit going to Brothers in Christ, he was still there.
Yeah, a long time.
And there was a man that had the Brothers of Christ meeting there in his church, and he'd never attend a meeting after the church. Never come to the meetings. They've been in my church. How many meetings do you think they'd have met at before I'd have been there? The first one.
All right, get out of here.
Well, you take care now.
All right, see Sunday.
And I gotta go get my ears cleaned out.
Yeah, probably.
So I can hear.
No,
I was thinking about maybe running down to the dollar store to see if I could find a syringe.
Yeah, I probably got them. Until you can put some.
I'm thinking maybe I'll do that.
Put some.
Check the middle.
Yeah, just a little warm it up. Because it don't take much warm for a head start here. You can take some mineral oil, warm it up, pull it in there, let it lay on it. If it's facing up a little bit, it just starts to cool off a little bit. Put it over where it's cranking out, and bring all this.
KJ, good to see you.
Hey,